I'm going to be doing the scripture reading, which is on the back of the program here. I'll be reading John 17, 1 through 8. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorify you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me."
ヨハネによる福音書17章1節から8節をお読みします。イエスはこれらのことを話してから目を天に向けて言われた。父よ、時が来ました。あなたの子があなたの栄光を表すためにこの栄光を表してください。それは子があなたからいただいたすべてのものに永遠の命を与えるため、あなたはすべての人を支配する権威を子にお与えになったからです。その永遠の命とは、彼らが唯一の誠の神であるあなたと、あなたの使わされたイエス・キリストとを知ることです。あなたが私に行わせるためにお与えになった技を、私は成し遂げて地上であなたの栄光を表しました。今は父よ、御そばで私を栄光で輝かせてください。世界が存在する前にご一緒にいて持っていましたあの栄光で輝かせてください。私はあなたが世から取り出して私にくださった人々にあなたの皆を明らかにしました。彼らはあなたのものであって、あなたは彼らを私にくださいました。彼らはあなたの御言葉を守りました。今彼らはあなたが私にくださったものは皆あなたから出ていることを知っています。それはあなたが私にくださった御言葉を私が彼らに与えたからです。彼らはそれを受け入れ、私があなたから出てきたことを確かに知り、またあなたが私を使わされたことを信じました。
Thank you, Tamal and Anna, for reading the scriptures. It's good to see everyone here today. How's everyone doing? You guys doing good? Good. Thank you. If this is your first time coming and visiting, thank you so much for being with us. Just a heads up, I was going to mention this last week, but I forgot to. But last Wednesday was Ash Wednesday. I don't know if you noticed people with ashes on their forehead. Some people, they do that on Ash Wednesday. I was going to say, hey, don't make fun of them. They're doing that as for God. They're reminding themselves that it is close to Passover. Or in the Christian tradition, we call it Easter. But it's really, biblically, it's Passover that we're close to. And about Passover and just Jewish holidays in general, it's important to know that these Jewish holidays are not simply for Jewish people. They are holidays instituted by God Himself. So the big ones are Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, that is not tongues. I was just getting my tongue loosened up. First fruits, those are the spring holidays, Pentecost, and then there's Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Atonement, and I'm shooting this off the top of my head, and I should know this. Trumpets, Atonement, somebody help me.
Tabernacle.
Ah, thank you. Okay. Oh, you guys are learning. Those are important to know, actually. These are signs that God gives us and tells us to watch. And so we are coming into Passover. And as believers, as people that believe Scripture is divinely inspired, as believers in God, it's important to know, hey, these are signs that God placed. And so every Passover, and then every, you know, tabernacle, trumpets, those are important times for Christians to be watching. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to the temple near Passover. And Jesus told the people if they only knew the hour of their visitation, they would not have to be judged. Here Jesus again talks about an hour in John 17. You guys want me to go pretty nutso with it?
Yes.
Well, do we have any astrologers, astronomers in the house? None. Okay. Apparently, there's something going on in the stars, in the heavens, that doesn't normally happen for thousands of years. And so, and it coincides with, you know, the Passover, and also it coincides with the Feast of Trumpets. And so there are a lot of fringe Christians. And when I say fringe Christians, they are still Christians. There's a whole lot of Christians, you know, within Christianity. And there are the fringe Christians. You guys want to know what the fringe Christians are? They are the conspiracy theorist Christians kind of thing. They believe, they don't discredit like UFOs and alien abductions. They actually look into it and try to explain it from a biblical worldview. So they don't just dismiss those things as evangelicals might have a tendency to do. But there are fringe Christians that have noticed that there are activities in the heavenly realms, meaning the stars, which it doesn't happen often. And they think it looks, and it is a fulfillment of Revelation 7 when it talks about the woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and she has 12 stars, and she is pregnant and about to give birth. That's all I'm going to say. If you want more, you're going to have to talk to me, because I mean, this thing is being recorded, and, you know, I don't want the men in black at my door asking and telling me to stop saying these things. All right, I got like two conspiracy theorists who know what I'm talking about. Everyone else is like, shh. It's like, what is this guy talking about? Get on with the message. All right, I'll get on with the message. So in John 17, he says, when Jesus has spoken these words, he lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that you know that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. A whole lot is said right here. First of all, notice his posture when he prays. Do you guys notice what he does? He folds his hands, closes his eyes, and bows his head. No, he doesn't do that. That's what we often do when we pray. But what does Jesus do when he prays? He says it looks to the heavens. Physically, he could have just been looking up because the skies were considered the heavens. That's a Jewish idiom when they say to the heavens. They mean to the sky. There could also be the spiritual aspects too of this. When Jesus prays, he sets his eyes literally in the heavens. So he physically, spiritually sees the Father when he prays. Most of us, when we pray, do we do that? Oftentimes, when I pray, I close my eyes. And I see like black and maybe some white, you know? I don't know what you guys see. But even when I close my eyes, if I wanted to, I could begin to imagine the heavens, can I? Here, Jesus says, he lifted his eyes up to the heavens. Sorry, I'm having like a discussion in my own head. I'm like, should I go crazy or should I just keep it tame? Most of us, we close our eyes to get our brain waves into alpha mode, right?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. I shouldn't talk about this. I have very little understanding about the brain waves and alpha. You know, are there any like people that study that kind of things? Alpha, beta, theta, delta, gamma. Oh, so I could say anything, right? And then you guys wouldn't know. Okay, so when you're critical thinking right now, you guys are critical thinkers right now. Your mind. Is most of you is in beta mode. If you're daydreaming right now while you're listening, you're in alpha mode. The brain, that's how the brain functions. And so most of us, when we meditate, when we pray, we close our eyes to, it goes, we're in alpha mode. It's better. That's sort of the mode our brain frequency should be in when we're praying. However, there's the theta mode. Delta mode, when your brain starts working in that, you start seeing visions and dreams. When you're dreaming, you're in delta. And there's this idea that is biblical, that there are times when people are awake and have dreams or visions, even when they're awake. Here, I think Jesus, his eyes are open, and for some reason, I believe he is able to be in that mode of seeing visions, seeing into the heavens. That's just my own personal opinion on this. But he sees the Father when he prays. Just like Moses. Now, when Moses prayed, do you know what happened when Moses prayed? He didn't have to go alpha, delta, or theta. When he prayed with God, God prayed with him face to face, like a man would pray with his friend, speak to his friend. Obviously, this didn't happen with Jesus. But there was something he was seeing in the spiritual realm, and I believe whenever he begins to be frustrated with his disciples, are you guys so dull? Is because they're not able to see with their spiritual eyes. They're not able to control their mind. So there's a school of thought that you could actually control your mind and go into alpha and delta. I'm even saying the names wrong. Alpha and delta. You know, and the school of thought is if you could go into these brainwave mode, then your body could actually begin to heal itself, kind of thing. There's a lot of scientific study in that realm. And so I believe Jesus was a master of controlling his mind, and he used it to communicate with the Father. Of course, this is not a school and a discipline that we just simply get. I believe this is through the power and leading and guiding, not of just some spirit, but of the Holy Spirit. I believe the Holy Spirit can give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that understands. All right, I'm just going to go back before I get too new agey. I'm not new age, just to let you guys know. This is just a scientific study, and I'm just trying to incorporate it. Sorry if I'm getting you guys a little nervous. Let me go back. And it says, my Father, by the way, this is the Lord's Prayer. Most of us, we know the Lord's Prayer as Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, this is another Lord's Prayer that is lesser known. The prayer that Jesus actually prayed over his disciple, over himself, over his disciples, and over us. And we'll take a look at that in these next couple of weeks. But he says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. The hour has come, since you have given me authority over all flesh, to give eternal life. Let me just stop there. The hour has come. Did you know? That sounds so festive. It's okay, don't worry about it. Did you know? Yeah. John, if you want, you can step outside and take that call if you need to. But Jesus had to wait. Did you know that Jesus had to wait for some things? Can you imagine that for a second? This is the Son of God on earth. But even the Son of God had to wait. And he had to wait over 30 years for this to happen. Consciously, perhaps over 20 years for this to happen. For this hour to finally come. The hour has finally come. When it comes to faith, this is so important to know. Without patience, you'll fall asleep. I don't need background music, not now. I mean, this is one of those services where they start playing the background music for effect, you know? This isn't that kind of church, sorry. Important to know, though. Faith, obviously, is important. Lesser known and lesser emphasized is patience. You can have great faith, but if you have poor patience, that faith will not get realized. Great faith, poor patience will not get realized. Jesus obviously had great faith. However, he had to wait 30 plus years for his hour to finally come. And that last hour, man, it's a doozy. Because as we saw a couple weeks ago, that hour of him being glorified includes a cross, a crucifixion, includes people slandering him, includes torture, includes all of his friends leaving him. So when he says, my hour has come, you know, that last hour is the toughest hour you could imagine. But he says, my hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. Jesus' greatest work of glory, glorifying his Father, will include being rejected by the world. And this is also an important aspect to remember. Very rarely will someone be celebrated and glorified here on earth while they are alive if you're living for God. If you want to live for God, very rarely will you be glorified on this earth and celebrated. Because the world will reject you. The glory Jesus is seeking is not on this side of eternity, but when he sees the Father in heaven. And the Father in heaven glorifies him. This side of eternity, he receives a cross, rejection, torture, all the things I said before. But that is for the glory of the Father in heaven. Very rarely. Now, sometimes it does happen. Sometimes a person living for God can be glorified here on earth, also in heaven. But very rarely does it happen. You know, some of the examples of that biblically would be people like Daniel. But even Daniel had to go through a lion's den. People like Joseph. But even Joseph had to be thrown in prison. But they were a couple of examples of people that became renowned in history, glorified in history. Joseph was one of the chief princes, second to Pharaoh, when Egypt was a world power. Daniel, also second to the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar, also rose to power in the Medo-Persian kingdom, when they were world powers as well. So I'm not saying it can't happen, but very rarely will it happen. Most of most of the prophets in Scripture will be rejected. Rejected, killed, and then only later on, after they die, will they recognize, oh, Jeremiah, he was actually correct. He was a right prophet of God. Isaiah, oh, he was a prophet of God. But prior to that, they would be rejected. Let me lift you guys up for a little bit. I know those are downers, I know. But there is glory. There is. God does want to glorify you. He does. And the great thing is, it's greater than what you and I can achieve here on earth. It is an eternal glory. It is not a temporary glory. It is a glory that will not fade, will never fade. It is not like the Oscars. I don't even know who won 3 years ago, Best Actor. Last year, I remember. I forgot his name. See? By the way, blunder in the Oscars, right? You guys, anyone see the Oscars? No one's... John, thank you. Oh man, you guys are awesome. You guys are praying, you guys are reading your Bibles, and the pastor here is watching the Oscars. My bad, that's my fault. But, you know, I was just watching because these awards, you know, I'm not usually an Oscar person, but while I was watching the awards, just to go on a bunny trail, while I was watching the awards, it was interesting because a lot of people that came up to receive the Oscars, and I don't know if there's like an Oscar fan here, so maybe you guys can tell me if this is normal, but whenever they came and received the Oscars, they thanked the Oscars. Is that normal? Do they normally do that? They went up and they said, we just want to thank the Oscars for having this, and then they thank other people. And I noticed they weren't thanking God. The very rare, I don't even think one person, while I was watching the Oscars, and I gotta tell you, I watched it from halfway. I didn't watch the whole thing, but they didn't thank God. There was no like Oscar winner that went and said, "I thank you, God," or anything. Not even the generic, "I thank God for this." Let alone, "I thank Jesus." I was like, "Oh, that's kind of weird." And then like always. A good movie, there was a good twist to the Oscars. At the end, they messed up. I don't know if you guys knew that. They crowned the wrong person. Which is interesting. I think that's also a sign of things to happen. Anyways. Here Jesus says, "You have given me flesh authority over all flesh to give eternal life." Now, what is eternal life? That's what Jesus gives. What is eternal life? What is eternal life? Important question. $1 million question. Eternal life.
Living forever.
That's the most common answer. Living forever. And that's true. I do believe eternal life includes living forever. However, Jesus here also says, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the true God, only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life includes living forever. But it's a quality of life. Of knowing God. Whenever you see the word know in the Bible, it is more than just an intellectual knowledge. Rather, it is an intimate knowledge. Knowing by experience. It said when Adam knew Eve, they had a child. It is an experiential knowing. It isn't some knowing because you read a book. It isn't some knowing because you saw a movie. But it is a knowing because you have experienced God. And Jesus said, this is eternal life, that they will know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. Eternal life is a quality of life where you have intimate relationship with God, the Father, and Jesus Christ, His Son, through the Holy Spirit. That is eternal life. If you do not participate in that now, even now, you are missing out on what it is to have eternal life. That is, you could speak with Him now. You could communicate with Him now. You could engage with Him now. Every day you can engage with Him. Every day you could have communion with Him. Common union. Being together with Him. That is eternal life. I want to tell you, there is a pseudo eternal life that the world will offer you. Do not buy into the pseudo-eternal life. The pseudo-eternal life includes living forever without God, apart from God, trying to achieve eternal life without God. Will probably result in the most miserable life you could think of. Because the reality is, in this body that we occupy, sin is still present. And in this body that we occupy, sin will continue to mature. So imagine a body that lives forever and sin continues to mature in your life. Miserable life. Again, just in research and development, they're trying to enhance life. And I'm not against enhancing life. But there is a hope to enhance life so that we could live 300, 500 years in this body. And hopefully one day be able to upload our consciousness into a body that will not perish. There's hundreds of millions of dollars being pumped into the research for this kind of technology. And I want to tell you, do not fall into the hope of that. That is not where we place our hope in. Billionaires are being cryogenically frozen, hoping that in the future this technology will be available to them so that they could live literally forever. That is not the hope that God is offering. Moving on, it says in verse 4, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you have given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Talking a little bit about glory now. I want to talk a little bit about glory. But imagine for a second Jesus' glory. Imagine for a second the glory a prince would have. A prince that is the prince over the kingdoms of the world. What would you imagine? Authority. He says something, people do it. When people see him, they bow down. He's probably in a very comfortable environment. There's nothing he probably wants or needs. Imagine that for a second. Jesus had that glory, but willingly was stripped of that glory. He stripped himself of all of that to be a common, ordinary person on earth who would walk with God completely, sinlessly. But you know, he'll say something and people won't listen to him now. He'll be born in a manger. He'll be raised as a carpenter. He'll be rejected by the scholars. He'll be ridiculed by those in power. And Jesus says, the hour has come, my glory, return my glory. You and I also had glory. Did you know that? You and I have been stripped of glory as well. And God wants to put that back on us. However, it does require us to take up our cross and follow him. What is glorifying God? Jesus says, the question is, what is glorifying God? Jesus says, I glorified you on earth. How did Jesus glorify God on earth? Having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. How many of you like homework? Ah, one person. You are very rare. Jesus says, I finished my homework, Lord. And I got a perfect A on it. And that gave you glory. A plus, right? A plus, sorry. We're in a Japanese church, so it has to be A plus. Because A, for Japanese people, that's just average. You know, it has to be A plus. But Jesus says, you gave me an assignment, and I did my assignment. How many of you guys have assignments due pretty soon? Some of you guys, right? All you college students have assignments due. Now, what if you just did your own thing? You know? The assignment is read the book and write a paper on the book, and instead you just wrote a paper on a movie you saw. What kind of grade, since Phil's not here, what kind of grade will Gabriel Sensei give you? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you go to church, he will give you a fail right there on the spot. Because he's a good teacher. No, but that's the truth, right? You can't just do whatever you want and expect an A. You got to do the assignment. You got to do the assignment the way the teacher wants you to do the assignment. Period. We all know that. I don't know, is the university changing now? There, a lot of things are changing on the campus these days, but I hope that's still the same. Here, though, Jesus specifically tells us that he gave glory to God by finishing the work that God gave him to do. Now, I want to tell each and every one of you, God has an assignment for each and every one of you as well. He has an assignment for you. You guys excited? No? Okay, sorry. I should have never mentioned homework because now you think the assignment's like homework. It's not homework. The assignment's not homework. But he gave you something to do. You know what the first step of that is? The work of God? You know what the first step, the first most important step of the work of God is? To believe in Jesus. The work of God is this, to believe in the one who sent him. And to know him. That's good news. Because the assignment we have is to love God. That's it, simply. Simple. For Japanese, that might be a little hard. I say that because I'm reminded of when I was in like second grade. I was still very young. And I just distinctly remember it was like Valentine's Day. So the teacher said, hey, you know, it's Valentine's Day, just go home and tell your mom you love her or something. Maybe it was Mother's Day. And even at a very young age, it was hard for me to tell my mom I love you. Japanese, Asian people, you have a hard time saying that to your parents? You don't want to admit that? Thank you, Yumi. Yumi, yes. Yeah, it was so hard for me. And I remember that was like in the back of my mind, and I was with my mom, and I was like, oh, my teacher told me to do that, and I couldn't do that. I just couldn't do that. I don't know, it was weird. But our assignment, our number one assignment that God gives us is to love him. Also to love others. That is your homework. To love God, to love others. That when they meet you, they feel God's love. Because you love God. And you spend time with God. That's it. That's your assignment. That's your homework. That will bring glory to God. Just to clarify, you bringing glory to God is different than entering into a relationship with God. Entering into a relationship with God, that is a free gift. You don't have to work for that at all. Paid for in full. Jesus paid for that for you. To have a relationship with God, free. Cost you nothing. You just have to receive it. Glorifying God is a little bit more work. It takes time. Just like any good relationship, it takes time. It takes sacrifice. It takes compromising. It takes you to say no to certain things, right? In order for me to love my wife with the love she deserves, I have to say no to certain things. Thank God I don't have a lot of options, but I have to say no, or else I wouldn't be loving my wife the way she deserves to be loved. I have to say no to other people. I have to say no to, you know, my friends. If they want to go out, and my doesn't want me to go out, I might have to say no to them. Say no. Not today. She needs me today. Same thing with God, though. It requires you to say no to certain things. It does take work. It does take time. Quality and quantity with God. Sometimes it might be, I want you to spend an hour with me. Can you do that? Can you do that? That's not hard, right? I'm not asking you to go across the ocean into a remote place and talk about Jesus. I'm talking about spending just 1 hour in the 24-hour day you have. Sit. Be still. And know that He is God. And while you're doing that, pray for me. No, no, but while you're doing that, focusing on God. If you want to be great at anything, it requires sacrifice. It requires time. I'll close it at that. That the eternal life that you have is an invitation to know God. The eternal life is an invitation to know Him. As Jesus knew the Father. Let us pray. Father, I pray that You would allow us to hear Your voice. To feel You move. To understand the seasons we're in. Even now, Lord, I ask that You would begin to give us dreams and visions as You have promised, Lord. I pray that You would speak to us clearly. That our heart's affection would be to You, Lord. Focused on You. That our heart's affection, Lord, would not be pulled and swayed, distracted, seduced by the things of this world. That You would be first and foremost in all that we do, Lord. That we will learn to love You, to know You, to know Your Son, Jesus Christ, whom You sent. And to love others, Lord, the way You have loved us. We thank You so much for Your grace and Your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.